Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering.
Hello. How are you? First things first, you guys. I've got my first ever live Hoovering show coming up. It's lunchtime on the 6th of October and it's part of the Manchester Podcast Festival. I've got guests from Coronation Street and Bake Off and brilliant podcast All Killer No Filler. If you can get to Manchester that day, I would love to have you there. Also, if you've got any spare bucks to support this podcast in exchange for prizes, including, actually, if you do $5 a month, for example, you get half-price tickets to any live events. Sorry. Anyway, if you are up for that, then please go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod. Thank you, thank you, thank you. This week's episode was so, so exciting. I don't know if you're watching BBC's Great British Menu, but it's wicked. In the North East rounds at the beginning, there was this super kind and creative seeming chef called Dave Coulson with his own restaurant in Newcastle called Peace and Loaf. Incredibly, he agreed to talk to me. Not just that, but to feed me. Get in. An early heads up for the first time on this podcast, and in my life actually for a really, really, really long time, I ate meat on this day. I explain in the episode why, but basically I think it's amazing that Dave uses bits of animal that otherwise were destined for the bin, and it felt like one of those rare treats of a time. I always thought that very occasionally, in situations where it's someone's absolute speciality, and especially when I know things have been super ethically sourced, I will try meat. I hope you're not rooted by that, and if you are, you just have to accept my apologies. I'm not someone who's very good with absolute rules. Anyway, one of my patrons, hero, Chloe Scott, had dared me to eat a durian fruit, and that very morning that I was meeting Dave, I spotted one in the window of an Asian supermarket, so where better to drag it to than to a real-life chef? I knew they were meant to stink, but my sweet baby God, it was like a corpse's sweaty trainer that someone had puked cheese into. Just getting it to the restaurant, there's no way on earth my Uber rating will have been left unscathed. So we start in the kitchen of Dave's beautiful restaurant, Peace and Loaf, with us and all of his kitchen team going a bit nuts over this bonkers looking and evil smelling fruit.
Oh, Jesus. I mean, look at that. There you go. It's a giant conker.
It's a giant conker.
It doesn't smell as bad.
Put your hands out. Yeah. Put your hands out.
No, it's sticky. And it's heavy.
And stinky.
That's really stinky.
How do you prep like that?
I don't know. That's why I brought it to some chefs.
It didn't smell too bad out the bag.
Oh. No, close up, it's not as bad, is it?
Crack it with some stuff.
It's the bottom.
It's a bag.
It's a, it's sorry. A I feel so bad.
I would pull it on the side. Treat it like a melon. It was 40 quid. 40 pounds. One of the people that helped me fund the podcast.
Quite curious.
I brought you something nice as well.
Oh,
it's like a chicken. How is this possibly going to taste like custard?
It's
supposed to, is it?
Yeah. It's supposed to taste really nice.
Smell like that and taste like custard. Oh. Yeah, you'd think that in the wild, if it smelt like that, as like a cave person, you'd steer clear, wouldn't you?
Natural reactions to it.
Yeah, you'd think it would be like a sign.
It smelled like
fucking hell. But it does start to smell a bit more like a fruit, yeah, actually. There's a tanginess to it once you get up close.
It's like...
You're all so chilled about it. You don't think it's that bad.
You should smell some of these chefs at the other gym.
I think these are just like banana textures.
Whoa.
Pop the seed on. There you go.
I'm terrified, I'll be honest.
Oh,
hello.
Looks like foie gras.
It feels really sweet. It feels like it as well.
Does it? Is it really tender?
It's like a little born baby. Really
kidney. It's like a little. It's like a banana, man.
Whoa, Christ.
I can't keep sniffing it, actually, it's going to make me rich.
Actually, I should wash my hands.
Go on, Kev. Show us your man. Oh, wait. Take a chunk of that. Hello, Rob.
Nice.
Got a part of it.
Have you seen it, son?
Yes,
it's
great.
Straight in.
No.
Cut a quick bit off that.
It's like super ripe mango.
Don't let it sit on your tongue more.
Oh, God.
It is like custard, that. Like.
It goes for six straight. It goes from banana
to like six. Six.
Banana to the sick in
like
yeah, yeah.
Actually, from here now, it smells nice.
It's not too bad. It's like fruit. You've just got to quickly chew it and just think.
Not sure about banana. It's like banana mango.
Right,
okay.
Yeah.
It's tasty. It's
on borderline, isn't it? What could you make with that?
Oh, that is like custard.
What could you make with it, though? Will it go brown? Will it...
Probably pastry.
It's like...
Here, yeah. Get the stuff. We are just getting... Get these in.
It smells...
Did I add some?
You know, it is. The heat's on. Neil, are you having a go at this, was you? He's out the door.
Give us a little bit.
It's terrifying. It tastes all creamy and banana-y, but the smell, you can't get rid of the smell. I mean, I'm glad I've tried it, but I never ever want to have it again. It smells worse than that. It's going in the bin, isn't it? You sit on the metal with that, mate. What can you do with it because of the smell? So much of like whether you want to eat something is what it smells like and looks like before, and this is
probably
like,
freezing grilled or something.
Covering chocolate.
Yeah, maybe. See, with chocolate,
it's
maybe.
It feels like surely you'd just be adding farts and death. You could make custard tart with that. Put milk in a bit of cream, some cinnamon.
I think if you cook it, it would lose its bunches. Banana bread.
Oh, durian bread. It would have to be in with something that tastes so nice.
Chocolate, I think, could be pork pies.
Yeah.
Have a look at what type of dishes we make with that. And it just comes out of the jungle.
Just have it. It's a pudding. Right. It's all yours. Quite a begrudging thank you. Oh.
That's cool. I always want to try one.
Yeah, me too. Job done. Never again. It's like,
that's creamy.
It's just
that.
So sweet and creamy. But it's just because you can still smell it while you're eating it. It's ruined.
Want to watch how we do this ham?
Yes. Of course I want to watch how we do this ham.
It's expensive. That's expensive fruit, that one.
Yeah.
We have like a... ham and peace pudding sandwich.
Right.
It's now a sandwich.
Oh, wow.
This is our little version. Peace pudding on the bottom there. Some ham we've braised with all the vegetables in that. Vegetables, and we finish with nice fresh herbs and mustard and stuff. Another spoon. This is
oh, that looks nice.
Caper jam.
Lemons, capers.
Sugar. Good to wake through the richness of that.
Right. That's a quenelle. Is that a quenelle?
That's a quenelle, yeah.
Quenelle of caper jam.
Right side. Well, because it's a little bit of a joke. I like ham with pineapple.
Right. It's quite controversial, isn't it? People get quite leery about that. It's the real Marmite thing.
It's just a little gherkin dressing.
Sexy plate as well. What's this?
Just dill oil. Should we finish it off?
Wow.
Got anything else, Kyle?
Put a bit of ham stock.
We have some friends have a beautiful allotment and they bring us lots of stuff.
Wow, with all edible plants?
Yeah, they have like 160 edible plants.
Wow. In Newcastle?
Yeah.
Just drive down the road.
1 mile from it.
Wow. So I bought you some Dorset ginger biscuits to make up for the jury. Everything you make is from like near you or where you're from, so... I'm from Dorset, so I picked them up last time I was down.
I can't wait to have a cup of tea with them.
Yeah. The most famous biscuit from Dorset is called the Dorset Knob.
Really?
But it's just like, it's plain, and it's like a really hard, plain biscuit. It's rank, so I thought I couldn't bring you that.
A biscuit, it's got to be pleasurable,
hasn't it? Yeah, there's got to be some cheese or something sugary involved,
yeah,
isn't there?
Yeah, definitely.
This looks amazing. I haven't eaten meat for so long that I'm really nervous.
So that's basically Newcastle on a plate, though. So
is it?
It's you've got to eat it if you come here.
Yeah. Okay. But also, I don't know. I think I'm just trying to be more open-minded, and I think in places like this, you're so careful about where you got your meat. You showed me a duck that got killed yesterday.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Where'd you get them from then?
So I work with like a really good butcher, and he'll give me a few options and we'll taste it and see what we like best. And it is nice to use it local, but we'll still use the best.
Yeah,
we want to use the best. That's
So you've got something from the Isle of Wight. That's around my way.
Yeah,
is that tomatoes or
tomatoes
something?
Tomatoes, Isle of Wight. Yeah,
brilliant.
Best in the country.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
What, they're just the most tomato-iest tomatoes?
Basically, yeah.
That's what you're looking for, isn't it? Tomato, isn't it? The most tomato-iness. Why is it that tomatoes, when you have them in a hot country like Italy or Spain or Turkey, they're just so much better?
I think it's because it's hot.
Yeah, it's just
the
they must just grow
sit at.
Much quicker. Or are they able to grow slower, longer? I don't really understand the science of it. It's funny that Isle of Wight is as close as we've got to a proper tomato growing
and
climate.
Further still south, you could be.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. Okay.
Spread food.
Oh,
as well.
Wow. That's so sweet. I love it.
Right. You can get a bit of pineapple as well.
Okay. So it's this is pressed ham and vegetables. Peas pudding. So pretty, you don't want to smash it all up, but I'm doing it. Oh wow, so good.
Thank you.
The dill is like, I don't know, when I hear the word dill I think, alright. But that's actually,
it really
shines through all of that. It goes with it all so perfectly.
It's a complex thing, dill. Really, yeah. Like when it goes in, when you eat it, it's. I think it's got a bad rep from the 90s or something.
Do you think it's just so overdone with fish, basically? You think of it with every smoked salmon and a handful of dill.
Yeah, I think that's it. People were bored of it. But it's really nice.
That's
I love it.
So tasty. I didn't get any of this.
Caper jam. Caper, ice and sugar, and lemon zest. Cooked down, caramelised.
Oh, so tasty. I think normally, I think this is why I could never be like a food critic, because I'm aware that they're meant to just like have one mouthful and then talk about it, but I'm afraid I just need to eat loads of it and just take a lot of time just doing that. Is that alright?
Most of them just stuff it in the mouth.
Do they stuff it down? Some of them are suspiciously thin though, Dave. Wow. Is that mustard seeds?
Yeah, some mustard in the tureen and in the dressing.
Salt. The vegetables are really sort of clean and earthy in the middle of that ham. And then just all the different sweets and sours of all the pickles and that caper. And then that pineapple's perfect. Pineapple and the dill just like waking you up all in the middle of it all. Love it.
Thank you.
Off the charts. This is the best job in the world I've got. I've got the best job in the world.
I think being a chef's probably
the
best. Yeah, I think it's the best job.
I mean, you get to try this sort of stuff day in, day out.
Yeah.
I have to wait till I'm talking to someone as clever as you.
It's not clever.
Oh, wow. How do you aerate that then?
So
this crackling.
You get pork skin.
Yeah.
Boil it for an hour and a half, really fast.
Right.
And then chill it down, flat, and then you scrape everything off. So you're just left with the outside skin left.
Okay.
So you're scraping all the fat and everything off. You're just left with a little film of pork.
Right.
And then we dehydrate that at 70 degrees overnight.
Wow.
And then when it goes like a piece of plastic, and then we deep fry it, and it quadruples in size.
Wow! It looks like a.
It's like a space raider.
Bit of foam, yeah, exactly like a space raider. But it tastes. I love everything salty.
It's quite rich, isn't it?
But it's really rich. It's creamy. It's almost eggy, which is lush. Oh God! Okay, I'm going to try this posh bread as well.
Yes, we made a bread. Yeah, for every service, fresh, twice a day.
Wow! And look at that. What's that sprinkled on that butter?
Seaweed. And it's not actually butter.
It's not butter. What's this?
Beef fat.
Whoa!
So
it's like foam.
It's like old school.
I'm
like
what was that? Is it old school like dripping?
Like
dripping?
Yeah, old school dripping.
With seaweed on it. Whoa. It's one of the best days of my life.
I don't.
This is awesome. Oh my God. I don't think I've ever had anything like that. Beef fat just vanishes.
Yes.
Just get all it. Just like you get this like. Oh God. To do this podcast, I really need to learn to get better at describing things. You get all this flavour, like, and it almost goes around the whole of the top of the inside of your mouth, like, all around the outside of your mouth, like a globe, and then it's, like, poof, gone. It's so
light. It disappears,
light.
Yeah. It's lovely and lovely.
So good.
Went to
the bread to be nice and light and the butter to be light with it.
And warm.
Yeah. Obviously, when your restaurant's called Peace and Love, you've got to do nice bread and butter, haven't you?
Yeah. So absolutely. I only know you off the telly, so that's all always weird, isn't it? But it felt like, from how that was edited at least, that you're very passionate about where you're from. Is that...
That's very true,
very
yeah.
Very true. I mean, you're still here.
Born and bred here. Yeah. Absolutely. I love it. I don't think I could live anywhere else. I've tried.
And failed, yeah.
What's that beep?
Something ready in the kitchen. Do you think that that durian fruit I bought you is setting an alarm off? Someone's puked.
A puke alarm.
Got a special chef puke alarm. If you are going to do really experimental food, you will need to get a puke alarm installed. I'm in my time. I want to know about your eating when you were growing up around here. Who was cooking in your house? When did you start cooking or having an interest in that? Siblings, all that stuff.
So I'd probably started cooking quite young.
Okay.
My mum went to, back to university when I was about 4 or 5 or something.
Oh, I love your mum.
And thank you. She'll be buzzing with that. She went back to university my dad looked after us, so we were one of my dad's specialities is like pie and soup. So you would buy a pie from the shop, and then cover it with a kind of like soup.
Get in! Oh, yeah. I've never heard of that. Is that a Newcastle thing?
No, I think it's just
your
dad. Pie and soup.
What's the best pie with the best soup combo?
I think it's got to be like mince pie with a Heinz beef broth.
Oh, okay.
It's a nice little combo, yeah.
Wicked.
A couple of slices of bread and butter.
Okay, fair enough. In my head, I'm thinking, like, just because I can't see the marriage of a chicken and mushroom with a tomato soup.
It's just got to be beef.
Think,
yeah, you've got to stick with it. You'll have to have, like, either a can of chicken soup or a mushroom soup.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think you've got to have some lineage or something, you know, it's got to match.
Fair enough. So because you couldn't bear to have pie and soup every night, you started cooking quite young. Did you have lots of brothers and sisters or any?
No, I've got one brother.
Yeah.
I'm the oldest.
Yeah.
He doesn't cook now. He's
still now doesn't cook?
Still doesn't.
Why would you if you could come to your brother's restaurant and eat like this? Yeah, I'm assuming you give him a mate's rate.
Yeah, oh, I look after him when he comes in.
Yeah.
He enjoys it, actually. Obviously, this was from a small village, you know. And
yeah.
Nobody eats like this, what we cook here, but...
Yeah.
So it's maybe a bit of a shock to people, but...
Yeah.
I don't think it's too... December from what I know from food and what I was brought up with because those are the things that I think taste nice.
Yeah, so you've just taken them
just took it to the next
to new
level.
Extremes and next level, yeah. But also there's something so inventive about I think the way that you approach food. And also like I knew I'd be happy to eat meat here because you do stuff with bits of meat that are normally getting binned,
yeah.
I guess.
Well, them pig's feet you seen us doing earlier, those are for the incinerator.
Yeah, so you were saying the butcher gives you them for free. What?
We shouldn't tell the customers that.
Okay. You were saying that the butcher gives you those for really, cheap,
really cheap
because no. I don't think the customers care, and actually I think customers would be really pleased.
Yeah,
because you want to know that you're, I think if you're ethical about, if you're even vaguely ethical about how you, what you eat is sourced, or you're trying to be, then the idea that you're eating something that was otherwise going to go in the bin, that once belonged to something that breathes, that's magic to me. I think you should brag about that to the customers.
Well, I think, now you put it that way so nicely.
Okay, good. I'll keep it in. That's staying in. I mean, it's probably going to be really hard to articulate, but how did you go from tins of soup onto a pie to like having your own restaurant? It's a huge journey. Did you train somewhere? Did you go from school straight into cooking?
Yep. Before I left school, I was working as a dishwasher.
Right.
In my local pub.
And, right.
Was
the food there good?
The food was not good. No.
No.
but I watched the lads and that, and it was better doing their job.
Right.
Didn't do my job, so I just learned to do it. I started doing starters and stuff. I went to went to college for like 3 months.
Yeah, in Newcastle?
No, in a place called Peatley.
Okay.
It was like a football college thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to try and last chance of being a footballer or whatever at 16.
Were you into football then?
Yeah, I was quite a good footballer, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think to look at it, so.
Shut up.
I went and did that, and it was just horrible, like everybody wearing the same tracksuits, and yeah. I wanted to just do my own thing, and
like a cult.
It was like a cult. Yeah. Right? Like they were all like, I think all footballers are the same. Aren't they?
I don't know. I think we're allowed to say that.
Are we?
All footballers are the same.
I like Rio Ferdinand. He's good.
He's sound, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's good on Twitter.
Yeah, he's really.
So's Gary Lineker. I like him on Twitter.
Yeah.
I like
Gary's
his opinions.
Nice. I like.
And didn't he shit himself once in the middle of a football match?
He did, yeah. Then the World
Cup, I can always have respect for anyone that would do that.
Shit himself in public.
Yeah. Right. No, maybe not in a restaurant, on a football pitch. Anyway, if you work in the open air like a footballer, I think maximum shitting yourself at work. So you're like, I want to do something else. And
a quick way to make money, probably. That's why, yeah. I got the job, and then loved it. Like,
yeah.
from the second week doing it full time, I was hooked.
Lovely.
And then, I found out what I watched something caught my eye on the telly about a Michelin star restaurant. This is like 1999.
Yeah.
And I went and asked my head chef about it the next day, and he was like, "Oh, so what you get for being a good chef?" And so I want to work in places like that.
That's a bit of an understatement, isn't it, really? That's what you get for being a good chef. It feels like there's a little bit... Is it that meritocratic, do you think, the Michelin star system?
Yeah,
you just graft away, and surely that... I think, I don't know, I'm coming at this as a comedian, but I know from comedy that there is a constant balance in terms of success, which is all relative. I don't know what the equivalent would be of having like a stonking, really high-end restaurant in your hometown that's going great guns, and you're on telly and stuff.
I think that's probably playing the City Hall when Michael McIntyre's playing the big arena.
Well, I'm playing the Stand Comedy Club, maximum 100 seats.
We're,
no.
We're on the same level.
Yeah. But I think that in terms of the next level, with comedy, when it comes to prizes, which is how I see the Michelin stars, but put me right if I'm completely wrong on this, it stops being meritocratic then, and it comes down to all sorts of other things. So it's not just how good you are, it's also about how sort of fashionable your brand is at a certain time, or how much buzz there is about you. Loads of shit you can't control, basically.
I think
I wonder if it's the same in restauranting.
Yeah, I think probably sometimes if you've trained under a great chef, and then you open your own restaurant in London,
you know you'll get a few reviews.
You've got to get the reviews quickly, and hopefully a star would happen quickly. I think you need to get them quickly in London, or they should more quicker than here, because what in Newcastle is.
What's the process of getting a star? Do you go ask someone to come and see if you're star worthy?
No, they just come and check it randomly.
Really, like Ofsted?
Like Ofsted.
But do they announce that they're here?
No.
Have you ever looked at someone and gone, they look Michelin star inspectory?
I've seen people come in and they think they're inspectors, yeah.
What do they look like normally?
The AA inspector, who I always recognise, he's a big fat guy.
Yeah.
Bald
head. It'd be so weird if you weren't. Imagine if it's like, oh, and there's one in there, like, it's such an emaciated guy. Doesn't really like food.
Never eats.
Yeah, just sniffs everything. Don't give him the jury.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
So have you got a star?
No.
No. It's got to be on the cards.
Yeah, I would like to... I think I'll just keep chipping away and just see if it comes. You know, I would hate to think, I've wasted my life and not get one.
Oh, what? It's not a waste of life to not get prizes. It's come on. That's not how we think.
No, it's not how I think. It's easier since I've become a family man.
Before that,
you know, like.
Well, I don't know if you found this. I found that having a kid. We've got really similar age kids. If you're listening, we've both got 2-year-olds. So identical age, but. If you're a parent, you'll understand the beginning and the end of two are quite different beasts in terms of parenting sometimes. I found that becoming a parent gave me a real focus. I stopped sort of farting about with lots of things I was spending lots of time and energy on that weren't what I wanted to be doing when I was 50. And yeah. I stopped and thought, what do you want to do the next 20, 15 years of your life? Then focus on that and spend some time on that. And one of those things was eat some amazing food and talk about it with people. And so I set this up, you know. Do you think it gave you like a bit more focus?
I think it made us feel a bit more comfortable about myself.
Yeah. Confident.
And gives us a bit more confidence to not care about, because I've got my family.
Yeah.
And then
what more could you want?
What else do you need? You know what I mean? Yeah. I'll tell you a funny story from this morning.
Yeah.
So I was at the just got up when I was at the coffee machine, and he comes in and Laura bought him a new pair of pajamas yesterday for like 3 to 4 year olds, but he's only 2.
Yeah.
Must have been cheap or something. But he's quite big.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's got these massive jammy bottoms, and he comes running in, and I didn't know what he wanted, and eventually he says, "Cool." So he pooed himself. So when I pulled his trousers out to see his nappy was round his ankle.
Oh, no.
He's just dragging his shitty nappy around, getting shit everywhere.
Oh.
And I had pulled him while Laura showed him down.
Oh,
yeah, all over my
worst.
Belly and everything.
In his brand new gym jam.
She just put them in the bin.
Oh God, they're animals. Oh, they're just such animals.
Yeah.
Oh,
one of the best, aren't they?
They are the best and the worst all at once. They're so funny. Oh God, I'm trying to think of a recent one from mine. We're sort of trying to do potty training at the moment, and we've got to the point where if he's got his, over the summer we're like, well, we'll just have his kit off at home, and so we've got to the point where he knows at home he'll go on the potty. We're still, if you put pants on him, he thinks the point of pants is to piss as soon as you can.
Let's get these wet.
You're like, no. God, just going to need hundreds and hundreds of pants. I spoke to another chef on this podcast, and he was saying lots of chefs get tummy ulcers because you're constantly tasting things, so you never feel really hungry. You don't ever think about your own proper balance, mm-hmm. like sit down and have meals.
I don't think our own diet is the last thing we think of.
Yeah.
And like, so we've made that beautiful dish there.
Yeah.
Well, what our job is to do is preserve that and sell it to the customers,
yeah.
not eat it ourselves.
Yeah.
So yeah, what if I had to do? I've had a coffee. I've had 2 coffees, 2 Red Bulls, half a packed lunch. One of the lads brings a packed lunch in and share it.
Oh, what's he bring in?
Well, today, I wasn't very impressed because his missus had made corned beef and onion sandwich. I don't like raw onion.
No, thanks.
It's like...
That was the one thing on your list that you said to me that you didn't like.
So I wasn't impressed.
Raw white onion?
Raw red onion.
Oh, that's a bit better. It's a bit sweeter than a raw white onion.
It's just an assault.
I've just fed you durian fruit and you're whinging about... Was it?
I prefer to eat that over
raw. I just love the idea that you're cooking food like this whilst you're standing in that same kitchen eating a corned beef sandwich with some raw onion in it. Have a word.
I know, there's something
wrong
as well.
Stop and have some of this. It's really nice. Say scrum-diddly-umptious. And then you can be in my podcast. So, you're a dad. Talk to me about eating and dadding. Is your kid fussy?
Yeah, he doesn't eat at all.
Doesn't he eat much? Like, that's got to be a chef's worst... Like a sparrow! That's got to be a chef's worst nightmare, isn't it?
It's the opposite of what I would want him to be, obviously. He's very picky.
What does he like?
Chocolate.
Well, he's not an idiot then.
He'll eat anything. We have to buy like malt loaves and stuff, so because it looks like chocolate.
He's just having soaring. So anything.
And then he only eats brown stuff, chocolate coloured things. So he currently thinks soaring malt loaf is chocolate.
Really funny, but at least because you're so inventive with you've infused all the vegetables into that ham, you could get some essence of spinach and inject it into some soaring.
I'll try that one. That's a good one, because he has, do you know what, he's taken medicine for iron,
right? Yeah.
And it's working wonders on him, actually.
Oh, good.
It's,
boy,
it's perked him right up.
Well, you've got to have a supplement, haven't you, when toddlers aren't having... I mean, what toddler actually is eating enough raw greens?
One of my neighbours down the street, she's feeding her daughter quinoa risotto and stuff, and that doesn't impress me, you know, my son's fucking having Milky bars for breakfast.
Talk to me about Great British Menu. What is the process of going on that?
So I worked for 18 years.
Yeah.
Grafted my nuts off for 18 years, mm-hmm. and I was in the kitchen one day and I got a phone call, mm-hmm. and it was Great British Menu, and they asked if they could come and do a screen test.
Right.
So actually, you know what happened is... they rang, said, "Oh, do you want to do Great British Menu?" I was like, "Okay, I'll do it." And then they rang back and said, "Oh, you're a sub."
Right. Oh God, that's brutal.
Yeah, it was good. So
happens in acting and comedy as well. You get penciled for stuff, and then you just never hear again.
I was gutted. So my hair was probably this long and my beard was down here. I went and shaved all my hair and shaved all. I had a proper Britney Spears moment.
Did you have a midlife crisis?
Cleaned everything off.
Nice.
And then the next day they rang and said, "Oh, actually, you're back on."
Oh no, and you shaved all your hairs off.
It was all gone, yeah. So I just had to kind of grow back.
Oh, thank God there was time. I was going to ask. I thought we were about to have a real scoop, but we found out that Dave Coulson did the Great British Menu with a wig. And a beard wig.
What's a beard wig called?
Oh, it's got a name, isn't it?
It's not a schmock, or is that a different thing?
I was going to say merkin, and that is a really different thing. Is it called a beardkin or something like that?
I'll find out later. I'll Google it tonight.
Someone will tweet me when this goes out. Okay. And so then they were like, "You're in." And then is there a long wait? So it's not like an audition thing.
I'd like... 2 months, and a half months, 3 months to.
And then do you, in that time, I was going to say, and in that time you plan what you're going to do. I really love that show, and so far I've only watched the North East stuff, so I've got a lot of catching up to do.
It's my favourite programme as well.
Is it? Actually,
and I've learned loads of stuff off it over the years.
Really? How long has it been going?
Series 13.
Is it? I should know that because I'm watching it on iPlayer and it says Series 13.
Me too.
Whoa. Shit, yeah, so, because you do get to have a look quite a lot in the process of things. That's so fascinating then, because the other two blokes who are both called Dan and Danny, just seem to cook exactly the same thing.
Yeah, they've got
and that's because they planned that. But so you didn't communicate, you didn't know who else was on it beforehand.
What?
So it's genuine coincidence that they were doing beef and lobster and they seem to be doing lots of similar things.
I think, well, they did everything the same, cooked the same ingredients until dessert, didn't they?
Yeah.
I think, well, obviously, they're two great chefs.
Yeah.
And they cook their asses off all week. They just must have the same thought process on things.
I think that they were wrong, though, and you should have gone through. I think you were so inventive. And also the only one who wasn't a bit of a big head. But that's quite normal, I think, in chefing, isn't it? A bit of big-headery.
Yeah, I think all chefs are a little bit big-headed. You've got to be the king in your castle, haven't you?
Yeah.
But I am probably I am the king in here, you know. So,
yeah,
but,
yeah.
But not outside. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
No. Just as soon as you get home, you're wiping shit off someone in the shower. That takes you off your king pedestal very quickly, doesn't it? The hose down.
Yeah, the hose down.
Oh.
Never forget that.
We went to Spain earlier in the summer and my son did a shit so massive it went all up his back, and we were in a little supermarket and we had to walk. I'm all right with that stuff. I just think, well, let's just all get covered in shit and then go home and get in the shower, whereas my boyfriend is like, oh god, he couldn't hated it, and he was like, Jess, he's leaving bits as we're walking along on the floor. I was like, shut up about it, don't tell people. Just do it. Sorry, talking about poo again. Let's talk about the Great British Menu and not poo. What an amazing process. I love that show by Fellow. Have they always had a theme, like, that you're cooking for the NHS in this theme?
Yes.
Yeah, so there's always, like, an institution of some sort.
The first one was, like, oh, you're cooking for the Queen or something like that. You know, it was really, really big.
Yeah.
I think last year it was Wimbledon. Which was a shit dream.
That's a shit dream, isn't it? Who cares about Wimbledon compared to the Queen or
literally,
the NHS?
Nobody.
It feels like the NHS. Because for me, that's why I asked. It's like the NHS is like the peak. I mean, who doesn't love the NHS? You have to be in that massive.
You have to be a maniac.
Like
NHS.
A psychopath, basically. Yeah. Or a Tory.
I find that.
Careful.
You might be Thatcher.
Well, Christ. Fucking Hunt.
We still hit.
Still on about Thatcher here.
It's hard to say a name.
Yeah.
We still hit her a bit.
Yeah. Oh, fair enough. I mean, you've every right.
Yeah.
She only really took my milk away. That's all.
Took a lot of.
Well,
a lot of men's jobs.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the horror.
I was born in the middle of the miners' strike, actually.
Were you?
Yeah.
I was born in 83. How old are you?
33.
Are you younger?
85.
Yeah.
My dad was striking at the time, yeah.
Fucking hell, striking and cooking for you while your mum did a brilliant degree. That is so awesome.
That's just good.
And your mum's a nurse?
No, she's a chiropodist.
Foot nurse.
Foot lady.
Foot doctor.
Yeah.
Foot wizard.
Foot wizard. I think she'd like that.
Tell her to get a badge with it. Foot wizard. Because one of your meals was dedicated to her, wasn't it?
Yeah. The fish course, yeah.
Yeah.
That was my best score. I was pretty proud of that one, yeah.
That was wicked.
I didn't.
It was the one you couldn't eat, wasn't it? Because you got a shellfish allergy.
Yeah, I couldn't try the sauce, no. But, you know, if you're cooking every day,
you know
how to cook something.
Yeah.
And you make a big meal, he has an allergy. Mm. Do it every day, you know. Although my finger there has been swollen for the last 3 weeks. So I was prepping razor clams, and it won't go down, and it's.
Wow!
Look how fat it is there.
Yeah, is it tender?
Yeah.
I'm just poking his finger.
I'm just interrupting myself. Sorry, but I'm allowed to because it's my podcast. I want you to come and see me in real life, and there are three types of chances. Number one, come on the 6th of October to Manchester and you'll see the first ever Hoovering Live at the Union Theatre at 1:30. It's an hour-ish. We've got an incredible panel, including Sherilee Houston off of Coronation Street and Claire Goodwin off of Bake Off. Please come. It will be a really good laugh.
Also, if you're further northeast, I'm doing a big, big, lovely fundraiser, a stand-up gig in Newcastle on the 20th of September for Rape Crisis Tyneside and Northumberland. Tickets are on Eventbrite and the lineup is ace. I would love to see you at that. Finally, if you're in London, I'm running new material gigs to try and work up a new show eventually, and I'm doing them with incredible other comedians in Camden. Some of them are so famous I'm not allowed to list them, and I'm doing it for so cheap. It's only £3 in advance. To come to those in London, look up We Got Tickets within that website. Search for Honers Club, H-O-N-E-R-S Club. Thank you, sorry, thanks.
Delicious. It feels like on that show that they like make, they sort of make you do like more camaraderie and josh you with each other, so, than you have to. You have to do little sound bites and stuff. Did you all just get on, actually? And is Angela Harnett actually really nice?
Angela Harnett is lovely.
Yeah. You could tell that they were like, and you're like,
she was really, really nice.
You can tell she's got kind eyes.
Yeah.
You can't paint someone as terrifying when they've got eyes that kind.
She's really good and to even like hear snippets of her knowledge and information, what she can pass on about, you know, it's an honour that, really, you know, she's a legend.
Very cool.
She had the hardest apprenticeship any woman could have done in cooking, you know, like
really?
With Gordon Ramsay, yeah. Through the years she worked with him, yeah. And come through and be at the top of her game.
Yeah.
She must be like so strong.
Nails.
Yeah, she must be nails, aye.
In every sense, mainly in the coconutty thing. I don't think I could take it. I love crying. I don't think I'd manage in any kitchen. I'd just be in so much trouble for crying all the time. Often with joy.
It's more tears than you would imagine in the kitchen.
Well, you can hide it because of all the sweat, can you?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Yeah.
We're always just crying through service.
2018 is what I like to hear. Men allowed more than the one emotion. Is there anything that you eat in a particular, like, ritualistic way?
Oh, yeah, beans on toast.
Right, tell me about it.
3 slices of bread.
Yeah, white, what sort of bread?
White Warburtons.
Yes.
Toasty.
Yes.
So get them in the toaster. We have, like, a 4 toaster thing, so
yes.
We're lucky.
Very privileged.
The plate, so start with the plate, and then the first slice of toast is buttered, and then Marmite, and left whole. Right, and then the next 2 slices are buttered, halved, placed at either ends of the bread.
I see. So we've got like almost a flour here.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
And yeah. Then I grate like loads of cheddar cheese onto it.
Mature
cheddar cheese onto the Marmite. And then I like my beans have to be fucked. I like them like cooked.
So go through the process of fucking the beans for me, Dave.
Microwave them for 6 minutes.
6 minutes.
Stir
like lava.
Yeah, well, let them cool down before, because you want to melt that cheese as well.
Okay. 6 minutes. Yeah. Are they not solid? Is that not a solid bean loaf?
Break down.
Do they?
Yeah.
Are you sure they haven't exploded?
Some of them have. I think some of them have exploded.
It's a volcano in that microwave.
And then pour over, and then crack black pepper and brown sauce.
Oh!
In that order.
How much brown sauce?
Just a flicker of
it.
You don't want it on every bite.
Not Tabasco, not Worcestershire?
Worcestershire would work the same way as brown sauce.
Mm.
I'm a brown sauce boy, though.
You're a brown sauce boy. Is that a Geordie thing?
Yeah, do people not eat brown sauce all over the world?
No, we've always had, probably, there's versions of it everywhere, but I feel like, is it in Scotland you just have there's a sauce called sauce that's like a vinegary, thinner brown sauce that you'd always have with chips, basically.
Okay.
But I thought up here it was all about gravies and drippings.
Gravy's a big part of the diet. Chips and gravy.
That's brown. Could you tell your son that's liquid chocolate?
Chocolate.
He'll eat gravy. Maybe he'll eat gravy.
Do you know he eats a nursery? When he goes to nursery, he conforms with all the other kids. And he sits down nice and he washes his hands. When he comes home, he just runs him off.
That is hilarious. He's at nursery eating quinoa risotto.
Do you know, like £50 a day at nursery, and then one day he come over and he's fawn, and it's like he's had hot dog wraps for his tea. And it's like, I'm not paying £50
for that. You can do better than that. My nursery is more expensive than that, but because it's very old, basically they're very flexible with hours, so even though it's very, very poor Ofsted and not been done up for a really long time, he's still going. But I don't care. They love him. That's all you care about.
The time. They've got to be looking
but
after him.
Once I picked him up, and then he was about 8 months old, and it said on his form he'd had fairy cake and spaghetti oops. Oh, and on the activities, watch Peppa Pig. 65 quid a day, Dave.
Bloody hell.
Down London.
I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, cheers. Fucking hell. There's loads of stuff on Netflix I've never seen that I have to start watching.
Deep Fried Masters is a good one. Deep Fried Masters.
No.
Deep, like making deep fried butter and stuff.
Deep fried butter. Deep fried butter.
Deep fried butter.
Terrific.
It's not they want deep fried.
No.
Deep fried lemonade.
Fuck off. So, what? How do you deep fry lemonade?
Make a lemonade cake batter.
Right.
And then deep fry that.
I don't want it.
Delicious.
It's not delicious. Oh, that's terrifying. Have you done any travels that you particularly remember because of what you ate?
Do you know what? I've been nowhere.
Really?
Literally just been stuck in it. I lost my 20s.
Really? To cooking?
To cooking. And I just threw myself in it. And I wouldn't have my own restaurant now if I didn't do that.
Yeah. No, it's been worth it.
Hopefully I'll get some time back. Hopefully I don't just drop down when I'm 35. Don't want to die early.
No.
So I've worked hard early so I can.
But then, surely if you go to places where the food's interesting, it can be like a sabbatical.
Yeah, well, we'll get time off. We do like to go to nice places. Yeah. We'll go and see a nice hotel and stuff. And,
lovely.
We went to Glen Eagles a couple of years ago.
Wow.
It's like an amazing experience.
Oh, yes.
Like Amsterdam.
Yeah.
I have to smoke the cigarettes in Amsterdam.
Delicious. There's some good restaurants in Amsterdam, apparently.
Yes, there is.
Really,
a couple of starred restaurants over there.
Yeah. Apparently, there's the Dutch are like masters of the sour beer. Former guest was telling me, like really nice sour beer.
I don't really drink that much, me now, you know.
Not into booze.
No.
Well, that's good.
Probably.
Good for you.
Yeah, I like. I maybe have like 2 beers a month or something.
Really?
Yeah. And I used to. Until Tommy was born, I'd have like 4 or 5 pints a night.
Yeah, just don't fancy it now. But not a problem. The good thing is, once you stop drinking, then you shit face really quickly when you do, so you don't really need 4 or 5 pints a night.
So just 2. It's 2 pints.
Done.
Wrecked.
I like that. I like it when I have phases of doing that. They're quite rare. I've had a boozy summer. I've just done loads of gigs at music festivals. The last one was finished last weekend, and I got back and was like, I'm going to have a really clean, sort of clean living on the booze front for September. And then my friend wrote a book and had a party for that on Monday. So that went out the window. Tuesday was very clean living. But since Wednesday, I've been in Newcastle. What are you to do?
It's only one thing to do, isn't it?
Drink the lovely gin. Tell me about something that you ate out of awkwardness or embarrassment.
I had like a half a pig's eye once. Chef served as a pig's roasted pig's head, and somebody got the eye out, and just sort of looked like a chefy chef.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Oh, shit.
It's awful.
Was it just what you'd expect to burst?
Just like wet. Well, it was already cut in half.
So
eye seep.
Just taste of the pig's tears.
Yeah, just. maybe that's what it tastes like. It wasn't very nice, so I wouldn't do it again.
I want to know, because a lot of what you do is really inventive with meat and bits of animals that aren't normally getting used to stuff, which I think is amazing, and can really carefully source meat and stuff. As an ethical carnivore, which is a term I've appropriated for myself from an amazing journalist called Louise Gray, who did a couple of years where she only ate things she killed. She's awesome. Do you have stuff you can do when vegetarians or vegans come in?
Well, obviously we've got the allotment up the road, so we've always got amazing herbs and things. We have a guy who we work with called Ken Holland, and he has a farm about 5 miles outside Newcastle, and he brings us lovely beetroots, Jerusalem artichokes, celeriacs, turnips.
Gorgeous.
All that from 5 miles away.
So do you just knock something up when someone comes in, or do you need to phone ahead and say, just to let you know what veggie come? Yeah. Amazing.
Allergies and dietary requirements have been a big part of the job for the last 4 or 5 years. Everybody's got... So I've got an allergy.
Yeah, well, that's true. Actually, I shouldn't have rolled my eyes.
It's I don't tell people when I go. I just make sure I don't order anything off the menu.
I mean, luckily, like shellfish isn't in everything. Yeah. I went to Edinburgh for the Fringe for a few days at the beginning of August, and to kick the Fringe off, we went to Fishers in Leith, which is an amazing fish seafood restaurant. And I went with 3 friends, 2 of them and me, bang into our oysters, really up for that. And one of them had never tried them, was really excited, loved them. So we got a second tray. We all probably had about 6 oysters each. It was fit. It was so nice. She was up all night.
Was she?
Oof. And I was sharing a little Airbnb with her.
So you need to... like microdose these things.
Yeah. Do you think that was it? Yeah. Oh, okay.
If you never had it before, you probably
just
going to
she should have
it.
Just had a 1 or 2. Oh God. Yeah.
I think that's why I've got a shellfish, because I wasn't brought up with eating prawns or anything like that. Yeah. My parents didn't eat them, so.
And then the first time you had them, you had 80 prawns.
Yeah. To peel.
Oh God.
Yeah, I'd have peeled prawns before I prepped them.
Yeah.
Ate them, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not allowed to taste things like that when you're a young chef.
No. God, they should let everyone taste the things like that.
I'm big on it, you know. I want a lot of young lads to
try everything.
Try stuff.
We're going to do that with Tommy as well. Once he's beyond chocolate.
Yeah, that's it. Once he gets
him a couple of oysters for his third birthday. Get him some durian fruit. Oh, don't do that to him. God, that's enough to stop him eating anything else ever again, isn't it? We realise that Earth is actually an inflatable dolphin, and the universe is the sea, and a child god has come to ride our planet in the waves of the universe, and that will obviously crush some of us and make the vast majority of humans fall off and die. Only you can stop the child. It does have to be you, sadly. She's been quite clear about that. And weirdly, she'll only leave Earth alone if you do cartwheels all the way from Berwick down to York along the pretty train line, so at least there's nice things to look at. It sounds impossible, but you do it! You're a hero! But you're absolutely wazzocked. You're all tired and sweaty, and but you're so... You know that bit after exercise where you suddenly realise how hungry you are? It's that moment. No, beyond that, you're in the nice, the high that you get. You're in the high bit. You can have a shower, a bath, whatever. You can have a change, but you're starving and you deserve it. I want to know what you're eating, what you're drinking, who with, and where.
At home with Laura, eating mince and dumplings.
Tommy allowed there?
Tommy's in bed.
Yeah.
Tommy's at bed, it's been a long day.
Yeah.
And we're having mince and dumplings and a can of Vimto.
Yes!
And nothing, couldn't be happier. My little boy in bed, my missus next to us.
Yeah.
My favourite meal.
Heaven.
Heaven, yeah.
Massive thanks to Dave Coulson. He deserves that Michelin star, please, ASAP. If you're northeasterly, you have to check out his restaurant, Peace and Loaf, in Jesmond, and also try his friend Bob's lush restaurant too. It's called Satchin's. If you're miles away from them, then see him on the first 3 episodes of The Great British Menu, quick, while it's still on iPlayer. Please tell everyone you come into contact to on the internet and in real lives about this stinky podcast. It's on all the socials, at The Hoovering Pod. Rate, review, subscribe, and follow me too if you want, at Jessica Fostercue. If you'd like to email me, you can do it through my website, jessicafostercue.com, and hopefully get to meet some of you in real life in Manchester on the 6th or at one of my Newcastle or London stand-up gigs. Links to everything in the podcast notes. Hoovering is produced by Emma Corsham, and the music is by Mike Greenway. Until next week, happy hoovering.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.